Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15 served in 20 minutes or less at Boston Pizza. It's a big Canucks news day. I think a few things happened.
One or two?
Yeah, a couple of big ones. They hire the head coach. It is Adam Foots, who's been the associate coach next to Rick Tocchet the last couple of seasons, and also get a deal done with Tom Villander, their top prospect, finally signed to an entry-level contract. Rick Tocchet also signed in Philadelphia. Ken Holland officially named the 10th general manager in LA Kings history. So it was a big off-the-ice news day here during the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of chairs were filled at the same time today. You kind of wonder how related those things may have been to some extent.
Yeah, I guess that is part of the question mark about how this all unfolded in Vancouver today. Let's get to it. It's the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yeah, it's the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest is Adam Foote is the new head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. And yesterday we talked a lot about the potential candidates, as we have over the last 2 weeks since Rick Tocchet decided that Vancouver was not the place he ultimately would like to be, and he has chosen Philadelphia. Foote, we knew Foote was a part of this conversation. It felt like Manny Malhotra was maybe more of the favorite. How much of that was reality? How much of that was speculation? Ultimately, we do know today Adam Foote is the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and I think something that plays a big part into this, and we spoke about this a bit yesterday, was how big a factor familiarity was going to be, especially when you factor in how big a year this is for the organization, how big a year this is for management. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, they're going into the foxhole with people they trust.
Yeah.
Because it's that type of year, you know, like if next year goes sideways, you know, we're talking about more than Quinn Hughes potentially not being here. There'd be a lot of people across the organization who may not be here, right? So when you're heading into a big year like that, I think familiarity mattered a lot to them. At least people they know and trust going into such a pivotal year.
Patrick Alvin made that pretty clear in his statement today, just how important it was that Foote has prior experience, that he understands the structure of the organization, and also aligns with how they would like the team to play, as Patrick Alvin put it at Canucks.com. We will hear from Canucks management and Adam Foote tomorrow. There will be a news conference with Adam Foote announced as the head coach, the 22nd head coach in franchise history. And we do expect to also have Jim Rutherford exclusively on Canucks Central tomorrow as well, so you can look forward to that. I know how a lot of people... I mean, I can see the reaction. I understand how people feel about this. And overall, there is a pretty negative reaction to the hiring of Adam Tocchet here, Sat.
Adam Tocchet.
Adam Tocchet. Did I really say Adam Tocchet? I really said Adam Tocchet.
Usually I wouldn't care, but that was really good. Adam Tocchet. So he was really the brains
behind Tocchet. I molded the two of them together.
Did.
Yes.
Put them together.
Adam Foote.
Adam Foote.
There's been a largely negative reaction to Adam Foote being named head coach.
Yeah. I get it. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be pretty clear. I think outside of Manny getting hired, and I think Manny would have been somebody who at the very least would have created more enthusiasm with fans for the simple fact of they know him, he's well thought of, and he's known as a really good dude that people like. Like he's a very well-liked individual, right? And he's had a lot of success with the Abbotsford Canucks. So I think it was very easy for a lot of Canucks fans to feel comfortable or at least more familiar with him, even though Foote's been here as an assistant. And there, a thought of, hey, maybe this guy can coach more offense. But one thing is very clear, like whether it's going to be Manny or whether it's, you know, ultimately it is Adam Foote, it really comes down to structure again. And mm-hmm. we talked about Marco Sturm yesterday. And one of the things that I had heard about Sturm was a very structured coach. And mm-hmm. that's the way he wants to have his team play really structured hockey and go through the guys the Canucks were talking to. It was very clear that's what they wanted. So whether it's Manny or Foote, I think in terms of how the Canucks are going to play, they wouldn't be too dissimilar. Now, obviously, there could be some different ideas as far as what to do offensively in certain breakouts, but that can also evolve, and we'll see who his assistants are going to be ultimately too, right? But I think there was going to be more enthusiasm for Manny. I don't know how justified that would have been.
Yeah.
Now, to be honest, like we talked about this on the show, out of all the candidates, my first choice would have been Manny.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing is also very obvious when it comes to first-time head coaches, none of us know how it's going to work out. And
yeah.
it's always going to be a big risk.
I mean, I didn't have a ton of confidence that Martin St. Louis was going to have success in Montreal. I mean, earlier this year, I even opined, why the heck does this guy still have a job when Montreal really struggled out of the gate? And obviously, I've been proven wrong there. Obviously, things have gone a lot better for Montreal since then. You never really do know. You know, you don't know how an NHL coach is going to do until they get their first opportunity. You have to be given that first opportunity. And Adam Foote has done enough, mainly as the associate coach here in Vancouver,
yeah.
to prove that he is worthy of a job. Because yes, we can all look at what he did with Kelowna in that one season and say, well, that didn't go well.
No.
It's pretty obvious it didn't go well, everybody. You know, you don't, when you get fired the same year you were hired and your son is the captain of that team in a year where you're hosting the Memorial Cup, yeah, things didn't go well. We all understand that. But I think he checks the biggest box that you needed to check. And one thing we know for sure, that this is a hire that, and not that any other hire wouldn't have been approved by Quinn Hughes or that he wouldn't have bought into the next head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, no matter who it was, but it definitely does not hurt that Quinn Hughes is a big fan and has really done nothing but pump the tires of Adam Foote, even going way back to
yeah.
the first 24 games that they had. And, you know, when we spoke to Quinn at the end of the season that year when Tockett and Foote were first in charge.
And Quinn loves him, as you just outlined. Other players on the team like him. Now, how much should that matter ultimately? It shouldn't. Unless the guy's not good at his job, right? Like, just be good at your job. That's the thing that matters more than anything else. And again, when the first-time head coach, none of us really know how it's going to work out. And when it comes to what's going to happen with this hockey team, like, it still comes down to what you're doing beyond this. We'll talk about that more, but this is only the first step. But as far as where the team goes from this point on, and you know what the Adam Foote hire tells us about the team, is that you should expect them to play to their identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very clear what they want this team to be, and that's not going to change. Now, will Adam Foote be able to get more offense out of this team? That is going to be the big question.
I don't think it's really, not that it's not up to him, but to me, it's going to come down more to the talent of the roster.
Ultimately, that's true. Like, it's, if you don't have another center behind Pettersson, if you don't have another goal scorer to replace Besser, does it matter?
It's there's only so much a head coach can do, you know. You want the coach to make wine out of water? Well, it's going to be tough to do. You know, it's going to be really difficult to do those kinds of things as a head coach. A head coach can make some differences, but you can't make that much of a difference. The biggest problem with the Canucks forward group and the lack of offense that this team had this year was a lack of talent, especially when you traded JT Miller and Elias Pettersson was stuck in whatever gear that he was stuck in all season long. There was only so many different avenues to offense for this group. And right now, that question still remains the same. If this team sucks offensively next year, it's not necessarily because of Adam Foote as the head coach. It's more likely because they still haven't done enough to improve the group offensively in the forward group.
The most important thing for Adam Foote is going to come down to, can he get buy-in?
Yeah.
And can he be competent at his job? Like the
easiest pathway to success for this team is maintaining the structure and defensive ability that they had as a group at times this year, and certainly when they won the Pacific Division last year.
And bringing it back to the earlier point as well, that it's such a big year. Like, you don't have this runway to be like, hey, listen, let's bring a coach in and we have 2 or 3 years to let this breathe.
Yeah.
Like, it's like next year is almost do or die in so many different ways, you know, and I think that factors into the decision. Now, how much of that is good process and how much of that is desperation to some extent?
Yeah.
But ultimately,
it's
you
a little bit of both.
You can't really
separate. A little
separate,
bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Because you can't separate it from the realities of what you're facing. Because it's not just, you can look at it and say, well, are you just preserving your job? Which I think that's what you're always doing. But to some extent, you're also doing what's best for the organization. But right now, what's best for the organization is to keep Quinn Hughes.
Yes.
So everything is directed towards that. Right? Yeah. Like, what can you do to at least give yourself a chance for Quinn to stay here beyond next year? And because you only have him signed for two more years, you don't have the luxury of, hey, let's invest in a patient approach and let's take our time redefining who we want to be. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You don't have that runway right now, unfortunately. Now, is it going to work out or not? Again, like we talked about, the degree of difficulty is so high this offseason for this organization, right? This is step one. The real hard work just begins.
Yes.
Like, this is the easy part of the offseason.
Yeah.
You know, getting your coach figured out. The hard part comes out with trying to get other people to come in. And as far as Manny's concerned, how much of this is, like I said before, Manny had options.
Mm-hmm.
Manny also is under contract to remain the coach. And I think in a perfect world, and I can't speak for Manny, but I would imagine in a perfect world, especially coming to Vancouver with Tocchet being here and having just come off winning the Jack Adams, that he probably thought of it as, I can go and coach for a couple years, 2 to 3 years, and be the head coach and then see where that goes.
Yeah.
And enthusiasm, we mentioned enthusiasm is a big part of it. And I don't know exactly what happened with Manny. Manny has to speak for it himself. And perhaps the Canucks had foot number one anyways. But I don't think it's as simple as just looking at this and saying, oh, they should have just given it to Manny. Like, Manny has a say in this as well.
Manny does have a say in this. If I were to put myself in Manny's shoes, you've worked hard to put yourself on the radar to be a head coach. As Elliot Friedman put it earlier today on the station, it's a matter of when, not if, Manny Malholtra gets a chance at head coaching an NHL team. So at the same time, you want to be, not to say that the Canucks job isn't a good one, and if you're a potential head coach, you'll take any opportunity that you can get because there are only 32 of them. And it would be really hard to turn down any job that's being offered to you. But ultimately, as we've talked about, this job with the Canucks has a lot of blow-up potential.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Manny Malholtra, you might only get one crack at being an NHL head coach. And you want it to be in a situation that has big blow-up potential that may, put you in a position where you may not get another opportunity down the line. I would wonder that if I were to put myself in Manny's shoes. And we do know with Foote as well, even going back to our early conversations about this once Rick Tocchet moved on and Frank Saravalli reported it, there were other teams interested. He didn't put himself just on the radar of the Vancouver Canucks. There were other teams that were looking to talk to Adam Foote, and there's probably a chance that Rick Tocchet wanted to bring him to Philadelphia as part of his coaching staff as well.
Like we mentioned before, that in a perfect world, maybe the Canucks wanted to take their time a little bit here more and still maybe do a bit more in terms of figuring out where they wanted to go with this. But you can't always go on your own timeline because when there are other open jobs and other possibilities, you can't wait around. Sometimes you have to strike and get something done before. So how much of that comes into play? I imagine to some extent.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this came together quickly out of nowhere. We've known that Adam Foote has been a candidate. We know that they're going through their search, but I wonder if it was expedited at all over the past day or so because there was a lot going on around the league.
Yeah. Did you have time to wait and see if Mitch Love would get eliminated here in the next couple of days to able to go down further that road if you wanted to? Like, some other guys are still coaching that may have been on the radar, but I think from day one, everybody seemed to look at Foote and Manny Malholtra as the two favorites to be the next head coach, and it ends up being Adam Foote here. There is other parts of this that I think are big, and one thing I do want to make clear, I know Quinn Hughes is a big part of this equation, and it's easy to look at that and draw and connect the dots to why Adam Foote was a great candidate for the job. And Quinn Hughes obviously plays a big role in that. But he wasn't the only Canuck, especially defenseman, that was fond of Quinn Hughes. One of the things that I think is going to be the biggest thing for Adam Foote to overcome is it's one thing to be the guy next to the guy, but now you are the guy. And we see this in the NFL all the time. Like some guys are just great coordinators, but not great head coaches. And I think that's probably the biggest thing for me that Adam Foote is going to have to prove, because over the last couple of seasons, it's pretty clear with the way Quinn Hughes evolved, with how Tyler Myers' game quieted down. You saw so much improvement from defensemen. Adam Foote did a great job at that, but taking the head coaching job is another step.
Well, that's going to be the big thing. Yeah. You know, we're going through the reasoning here why the Canucks did what they did. And the part of it comes down to like how much of it you support or don't support, right? Yeah. And how much of it you actually believe in. And the biggest thing for me for Adam Foote is going to be, can you be the head coach?
Yeah.
Like, can you do the job of a head coach? And that's essentially be a CEO, right? Mm-hmm. Handle games, handle your players' emotions, handle the bench really well. Like, it's a really difficult thing to be a head coach in the NHL. And Adam Foote only has 1 year of head coaching experience, and that was in WHL.
And it didn't go well.
Didn't go well at all. And I know Rutherford has mentioned that to them, they don't worry about that. Like, they chalk it up to maybe a learning experience. But it's not something that if you go and ask people around Kelowna about that year, like, you don't get good reviews.
No.
You know, so it's like, so obviously
again, you don't get fired with 2 weeks left in the season in your first year on the job if things are going well.
Now, that's not to say that you can't learn and get better, right? And ultimately, I do think sometimes that we overrate the idea of experience. I mean, we underrate the idea of the experience of your first job and making some mistakes and learning from those. The question is, how much do you learn?
Yeah.
And that's going to be the big thing. Like, is he able to do that? Like, you know, I really hope so. For the sake of the organization, I really hope that Adam Foote's ready to be a head coach.
So we'll get more into this. Kevin Woodley is going to join us. And we have a lot of your texts, which we'll be reading throughout the day. And we'll continue that even after 5:30 when we have an open segment to close the show. So if you have your thoughts, get them in 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. The other big bit of news, Tom Villander signing his entry-level deal. And Sat, you reported a little bit about this on Twitter, but ultimately, what changed in this negotiation to be able to sign on the dotted line today?
Yeah, so I got some more intel on like why, or like what the differences were as far as like this has been dragging on for so long, right? This negotiation with Tom Villander. And we knew it was about Schedule A bonuses.
Yeah.
And Schedule A bonuses are still bonuses you have to earn.
Mm-hmm.
And those bonuses are also very difficult to earn.
Like, yes.
So how much of this really matters, right? But nonetheless, like, that was what the negotiation was about. So how big a gulf was there between the team and the player? Now, I can't say for a fact what exactly the player wanted as far as, you know, the Schedule A bonuses. But I do know they were able to take less than what they were asking at the end. And the Canucks moved off their offer at the very end, which was today, to make that deal happen.
They met somewhere in the middle.
I was told to be careful with met somewhere in the middle, which implies that perhaps somebody moved more than somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly. Again, I don't know exactly what the Villander camp truly wanted to be accurate about it. But the Canucks moved up $17,000.
Mm-hmm.
On the Schedule A bonuses.
Wait.
$17,000
just on the bonuses.
So the Canucks were offering $783,000 in Schedule A bonuses, and apparently that offer had been on the table for a little bit of time, whether it's a day or a week or so, or a few days to a week or whatever, perhaps a little bit more. But they moved from $783,000 to $800,000 today.
Okay,
and that got a deal done. So $17,000 was a difference
on the Schedule A bonuses, which you may not
earn
anyways.
No, and like I said, like, this, I think this doesn't really,
especially for a stay-at-home defenseman, you're probably not earning the Schedule A bonuses.
but like what the Canucks
I'm sorry that I'm laughing, it just seems so,
but now that we have the numbers,
silly.
Yeah, but now that we have the numbers and we look at what was offered before, like, this is in line with what the 11th overall pick from last year was offered too. So now they've gone above that a little bit more, so
right.
Like, they haven't been outside of, you know, they weren't below,
outside of the norm, yeah,
right? But it shows you how dumb this was at the end, right? Like, 17,000 is what kept,
you're telling
you guys
me this, and I'm like, going in my head, I'm like, really? Like, this is what took so long?
Yeah, it shows you that it was some stubbornness on both sides. Like, you know, we heard Rutherford be very open about, hey, we have our offer on the table. Like, this is what you're earning. This is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you have no leverage here, bud.
Yeah.
Right? So we heard what he said, right? So ultimately, I'm glad they got it done. I wonder how much Adam Foote being named head coach at least kicked up the conversations. I wonder about that. I wonder if, like, if whether it was team initiated or player initiated, that once this got done, there was a sense of like, hey, let's go talk to this. Let's try to get this done.
Yeah.
So I think that played a part into this.
Now, Abbotsford resumes their Calder Cup playoff run on Friday.
Yes.
Is there, I guess he signed an ELC, so that means there's no ATO involved here?
No. Well, the ELC is signed, but it doesn't begin for this year.
Yeah.
So, like, he would have to sign ATO to play anyways because he's not under contract for this year. So he would have to sign ATO regardless. Not sure if that's going to happen yet or not.
Okay.
That it's up to the player, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, it's one of those things where you're
joining. It would be a lot
late
to get him up to speed and throw him into the third round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think the team is open to it. I think they're just happy to have the player signed. I think they're open to, like, hey, whatever you want to do. From his perspective, how do you feel about that jumping in, especially kind of been off now for a week or so, not playing with Team Sweden either, and all of a sudden try to play in an AHL playoff where other guys are established? Who knows where that happens, but I think the team is open to it at the very least if the player is.
All right, into the Canucks Central Roundup. Rick Tocchet officially hired today by the Philadelphia Flyers, and he had a big spiel about how excited he is to take over the Flyers. I've always been a Flyer at heart and have taken that passion and energy that embodies this city and organization with me throughout my career. I want to thank Danny Briere, Keith Jones, and Dan Hilferty for this honor and opportunity. I couldn't be more excited to lead this team back among the NHL elite where we belong. We have a lot of work to do and much to accomplish, but I am confident in the direction we are heading and determined to get us there. End quote from Rick Tocchet.
Is he going to embrace the hard in Philly?
He's a lot more enthusiastic about the Philadelphia job than what we heard towards the end here in Vancouver. I'll say that. He's going to have to embrace the hard because this is a bit more of a long-term project. You don't have any Quinn Hughes-type players on the Flyers. A little bit of a less pressure situation, right, where you probably like the next 2 years don't really matter results-wise for the Flyers, I think. Whereas, you know, you're in the heat of the battle here in Vancouver. It's like, we need results now.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case in Philadelphia as he takes this job. But I think ultimately, and you know, I felt this for a while and we've talked about it, but when Elliot Friedman said earlier today that Philadelphia was above the Canucks' offer, I feel like money was obviously a big part in Rick Tocchet's decision.
Yeah,
not the only part, but a big part.
I think it was a big part. Like, yeah. I think he got a good offer from the Canucks. Like, the Canucks made him would have made him the highest paid coach they've ever had. And the offer was, we even heard from, I think it was on Donnie and Dolly, his agent was on and said the Canucks made a very good offer and it was a very fair offer. And it was a respectable offer, but it wasn't a knock your socks off.
No.
Like, hey, this is what you can get on the open market. And that's what it looks like he got.
Yeah.
You know, and good for him. And maybe there are some personal reasons for him wanting to be out east. But it's hard not to look at this and just be like, you just didn't want to be here, dude. Like, you didn't quite just believe in everything here. And you had your chance and just wasn't for you. And maybe it is because he knows something about Quinn. Again, none of us know for sure. Or is just not confident about it. But it's hard to look at it otherwise. Like, he didn't, like, I get it. He's a Flyer. Like,
yeah.
Flyer, sure.
It's money and maybe a bit of a better situation personal life wise for Rick Tocchet. But yeah, ultimately, it's hard not to look at this and say he just didn't really want to be in Vancouver. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, lots to get into. Kevin Woodley is going to join us. All of our guests here on Sports at 650 call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. Woodley is next on Canuck Central.